This show furnished by GS Medical Center and Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
Cutting through the massive disinformation and propaganda to give you the truth about medical and political controversies. This is Truth, Medicine, and Politics with the executive producer of the award-winning film, American Addict, Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. Or 800-ABC-KABC. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
Well, it's Saturday night, so that means that I am back. This is Dr. Gregory A. Smith, and this is Truth, Medicine, and Politics, because obviously we need to hear some truth. People are really thirsty for the truth, and we try to bring that to you every Saturday night. This is no exception. There is a new film called The God Cells. It's a very important film. It's about stem cells. And many of you listening, driving out there, have chronic problems, diabetes, autism, heart, lung problems. And most of you are probably taking medications for these problems. And what do the medications do? They help the symptoms. They make you feel a little bit better. Sometimes they give you side effects or other problems. But what they don't usually do is cure the problem. What if there was an answer for people with chronic diseases? What if you could get treatments that actually cure these problems? Would that be so bad? Obviously, it would be a great thing, right? But would it be something that we're going to see in our lifetime, that people could be cured of diabetes, cured of autism? Well, we're going to talk about stem cells tonight, and some of these cures are here now. But just like we've talked about many times in this program, often cures are not told to the general public because, let's face it, sick people is good for business. Not dying, right? Just staying alive enough to get your prescription filled every month, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. Lots of money made. And I always come back to the same thing. The inescapable truth of this is that no matter how you look at it, it always comes back to money, that money trumps public health over and over and over again. People are allowed to be maimed and to die and have cures for different diseases suppressed. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is stem cells. And this film, The God Cells, is an outstanding film that talks about fetal stem cells, because there's different types of stem cells, which we're going to talk about in a moment with my guest. But fetal cells are controversial, and that's what this film is about. In studio tonight, I have Dr. William Rader, and he's a psychiatrist, and back in the 80s and 90s, he was really a celebrity doctor. He was on every show, Jenny Jones, Merv Griffin, Phil Donahue, you name it. And it was really focusing more on weight loss, eating disorders, and I'm going to let Dr. Rader talk for himself here in a minute, but it seems to me, from my perspective, that when he was part of the mainstream, talking about the mainstream things about medicine, he was embraced. But as soon as he started focusing on stem cells, he's gone through a lot. And again, I'll let him tell his story, but this is nothing new. I think I've said before in this program that when we did the American Addict, the first film, amazingly, 70% of the people in that film had had death threats. And that was before the film came out. So it's dangerous business trying to tell people things that can really help cure them. But Dr. Rader is one of the people that's brave enough to do that. I'm going to bring him on right now. Dr. Rader, he's in studio. Thank you for being here tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I saw the film. Unfortunately, I didn't get to the premiere. It premiered last night in Los Angeles, and it was in New York the week before. But I did watch the screener of the film, and it was amazing. I just want you to tell the audience a little bit, really, how did you even get into this, and how did you get involved with stem cells, and then tell the audience what are stem cells?
Well, the bottom line is that my career has been kind of an unusual one. I was a chief psychiatrist for the alcohol program of the U.S. Navy. I helped put together the Betty Ford Rehabilitation Center. I had one of the first clinics for HIV in Latin America. I was doing research there. As soon as I see something that makes sense to me, I jump on it and I leave what I was doing before if it was superior. The bottom line is, for some reason, I don't see the box, what's in the box. The first thing I see is what's out of the box. And we were talking earlier that how could someone look at that film? How can someone see a child who is supposed to die live? And you look at any medical journal, you talk to any doctor, they say, that child's going to die. I'm thinking of a doctor who is famous, a university physician, and he had a patient, and he has many patients like this, who have epilepsy, but epilepsy that is not curable in any way, no medication, nothing. And they keep getting more and more seizures. In fact, they get closer and closer, so they stop breathing, they end up getting brain damaged, and then they end up dying. Now, this one woman, who is fabulous, has such a child, started as a normal child, and we were talking about that earlier, that just happened to have the vaccines, and all of a sudden the timing is exactly the same, and then started to have seizures. Not one parent has ever won a lawsuit against the drug companies, and it's so obvious. We see it so much in our practice that they have so many kids who have been normal and all of a sudden they're not normal. So what we've been doing is dealing with things like that. This particular patient had so many seizures that his parents would sit there and pray that he would not have a seizure in the next 10 minutes so he could breathe, so that the brain damage would not get worse. They were just sitting there praying for that. The physician who was taking care of them is very famous, as I said, is a university professor. And the mother, who's fabulous and intelligent and makes things happen, she decided, it took about 3 months of conversation, and she had been to UCLA, to Children's Hospital, to NYU, everywhere, because she wasn't going to quit. She was going to stop this, because she keeps seeing her child getting closer and closer to death. And she decided, after about 3 months of conversation, that doesn't happen now, because I've been doing this for 20 years, over 3,000 treatments. By the way, there has never been a negative side effect. That's one of the reasons they took my license away, strangely enough, because I refuse to give immunosuppressive drugs. Immunosuppressive drugs are given to people who have a transplant to a lot of people who really don't need them. Some of them do, but they themselves are poison. Immunosuppressant. What does that mean? It means it suppresses your immune system. Well, what happens when something suppresses your immune system? You get sick and sicker and sicker. You get all kinds of things that you normally wouldn't get. The medical board, and who decided to take my license, said that I had to give an immunosuppressive drug to every patient. If I did, what about a bubble boy, for example? And you're going to give him drugs to suppress his immune system? Or just the average patient that we have, if you give them immunosuppressive drugs, they're going to get all kinds of things that they haven't had. The thing about fetal stem cells, they have a characteristic of they do not need to be matched. You can give a fetal stem cell to anyone without having any problems, any fetal stem cell.
They don't need immunosuppressive drugs. The body doesn't reject them.
That's correct. But also, you can give it to anybody. And yet, medicine doesn't know that. Doctors argue with me. I said 3,000 patients that were never matched and never had immunosuppressive drugs, and not one negative reaction. That's like impossible, what I'm saying.
None of them had rejection.
None, no rejection, no nothing, because this is benign. A fetus is a human material. By the way, you walk by a fetus, and that little thing is the size of your pinky fingernail, and it gets to be you and I. And no one realized, wait a second, hold on, this is the magic. How does it do it? And if it gets to be you and I, it must have incredible power for repair, incredible power for creating something. And they don't think about it. And when I say it, they argue with me. I mean, objectively, how does this thing turn into you? It must have incredible properties, which of course it does. And this property of having the immune system not reject it, any immune system, is phenomenal. How could medicine not know what I just said? And when I say, wait, 3,000, we didn't match, over 3,000, they still walk away. It's strange. Well, getting back, before I go too far afield, getting back to that doctor, the mother called because the seizures stopped. He was having hundreds of seizures a day after he got the fetal stem cells. It was after hours when she called, so she left a message. They were always very friendly, and he would always call her back. He didn't call her back. She thought that was strange, so she kept calling. He refused to call her back. And then she brought her son in and said, look, here he is. He doesn't have seizures. You said that he would be dead within 4 months. And he's not. And he's getting better. His brain damage is reversing. You can't do that. How could that be? By the way, when you get a fetal stem cell transplant, only a fetal stem cell transplant, can you get the brain cells from the fetus. Any other kind of stem cell, there are no brain cells. And the brain cells go to the brain. So anyway, she got very upset that he would not pay attention. And she followed him to a lecture he was giving. And when he saw her, he walked behind he was on the dais, and he walked behind the curtain. She was like shocked. Then she hung around because the whole conference was about intractable epilepsy. And it was somebody who was a world expert, whatever that means. So when he finished his lecture, he walked down the aisle. She approached him. Her husband was holding the baby. And she said, this child, my child, has Lennox-Gastaut, which means there's nothing that could be done. By the way, we're wonderful in this country. We are brilliant in this country because when somebody has intractable seizures, what we do now, if it's on half the brain, not the full brain, we remove half the brain. And we become heroes. It takes a lot of time and a lot of energy and a lot of... They're doing that instead of having 1 hour getting fetal stem cells, which is totally benign, no pain, no nothing. They're taking out half the brain and telling the parents, smart kid, don't worry about it.
Hard to believe.
No, but they're doing it. And right. Not only are they doing it, they're getting credit for it.
Right.
And being told, you are such a talented guy.
My guest tonight is Dr. William Rader. We're talking about the film, The God Cells. And we're talking about stem cells, specifically fetal stem cells. And Dr. Rader, in the film, it's particularly heartbreaking when there was one part of it where the little girl, looks like she was about three or four years old, maybe 4 or 5 years old, that couldn't walk straight, had a neurologic issue. And then after treatment, could walk straight. And when people, you know, I don't know how people can watch this and just reject it and say, oh, it's not been studied well enough. If you're a parent of a child like this, I don't know why you wouldn't go for this. But I want to give out the number. It's we're live tonight with Dr. Rader. It's 800-222-5222. to 800-222-5222. That's 800-ABC-KABC if you have a good question for Dr. Rader. The film God Sells premiered here last night. I want to ask you...
Can I interrupt?
Sure, absolutely.
That child had muscular dystrophy.
Yeah.
Well, you donated. You put the money in the boot of the firemen, didn't you? $40 million
yeah.
that they've raised. They have done nothing. Well, nothing. Nothing. Zero.
Similar to cancer and all the... Yeah.
But they're not going to pay attention. I don't think he's going to be happy about it, but I met with Jerry Lewis, and he became very interested, and then he got into another project. But he saw, and we have lots of kids with muscular dystrophy who are in wheelchairs and then die. And the child wasn't just walking that you saw. These children are sometimes playing tag with the other kids and tagging them. If you just have one, that's what drives me nuts. If you just have one muscular dystrophy, if you just have one with seizure disorders, if you just have one with Alzheimer's, if you just have one, why is it that you can't see that, pay attention to that? And then they talk about a double-blind study, as you know. Well, I won't do double-blind studies because I'm not going to kill some kid, okay?
Yeah, who would participate in that study? Who would want to be in that study to get the placebo?
All right. Now, I'm going to tell you what I think we should do. This is absolutely brilliant and crazy. Why don't you just look for consistency, look for repeatability, look for no side effects? 3,000. Wouldn't that be enough? And one of the experts who is against me in the trial, I don't blame him because they don't know, you know, anything about this. The lawyer who was O.J. Simpson's lawyer, Robert Shapiro, said, well, what happens if you saw three patients that were never given a match, were never given immunosuppressive drugs, and had no problem? Would you change your mind at all or think about it? No. What about 30? No. 300? No. 3,000? No. It's in the text of the trial, because that's how we are. Not we, because I exclude myself. But that's how a doctor is, that once you're programmed, you stay programmed. And you saw in that program the doctor who said, when you go to medical school, they put horse blinders on you.
Right.
And if you haven't learned it in medical school, then it doesn't exist. To end the story with that doctor, the expert of all experts was walking down the aisle. She approached him. She showed him her child. The father was holding the child. And she said, he no longer has this. And he said, that's impossible. He was French-Canadian, and waved his hand in front of her face. She became depressed. This tough lady who took her child all over the country, she became depressed, and then she got angry. She got really angry, and she sat in his office until he would approach her, and she was able to talk to him. And the story, which is amazing to me anyway, is that he is a famous professor. He did get excited. He did go back to his university, and they said to him, you're getting close to being retired. You have a great reputation. We won't let you be associated with Rader. Our university doesn't want to have any association with him. They did not care that the impossible happened. She then went out and got three more parents that she met in the practice to get the fetal stem cells. The kids were cured, and now he's got four. And what he did was he listened to them. I can't blame him. I don't know. I wouldn't, but you can't blame him. But on the other hand, maybe tonight or this morning, he was telling parents that the kid was going to die when he knows this exists. It just is that way.
Yeah.
I visited the doctor who started transplants. At that time, they didn't know about matching or anything. A lot of people died, a lot of people, till they put it together. And I was very excited. I thought, wow, this is the guy who started it. He's going to join with me. He's going to help me. No. no way would he get associated because of the negative implications, because he didn't want to lose his license. You're a doctor. But I said, look, do me a favor, because I'm very naive. Tell me where your computer is. And by mistake, leave it on and leave it on the patient list. I'll never say where I got it. No. Drop a piece of paper with a few of the patients. I'll never say where I got their name. No. And this is the guy who started the whole thing.
It's sad. It is obvious. It's just an example of how the medical system has been co-opted by, you know, the chemical, now pharmaceutical companies. It makes it very difficult for people to practice medicine. It actually helps people when it's not, when it's outside the paradigm of the pharmaceutical paradigm.
Absolutely.
Well, let me ask you specifically about fetal stem cells a question, because one of the criticisms of what you've done and are doing and the few others around the world that deal with fetal stem cells is that this issue with abortion, because a lot of people feel like, well, as I don't see it as, as an abortion issue, but people make it an abortion issue. It's like, well, if you have this legalized, there are going to be women, especially in poor third world countries, that are going to purposely get pregnant and purposely have abortions, similar to how we have people in third world countries and in poverty sell a kidney for money, that will sell, that will get pregnant and abort on purpose to give stem cells, fetal stem cells. How do you feel about that?
Do you want the answer, the bottom line?
I always want the answer.
Okay. The bottom line is that one of the main research projects that I was involved with was expanding fetal stem cells. One fetus can provide enough material to treat thousands of patients. I say thousands. I know it's more than just thousands, because we did the research. We did it in the lab. It's there. So nobody, you have to be out of your mind to do what you just said, or pay someone, because we have an unlimited supply. By the way, if you follow that course, why do we have bone marrow transplant registries? A fetus is better than your twin. Excuse me. A fetus is better than your twin. You don't need to have these registries. I met with one of the top people in bone marrow registries, and because you're saying what kinds of things happen to you. And I expected to be greeted with love. No, nothing. I said, look, there's so many children out there. Please, can you just try it or give it to somebody? I called the transplant doctor at St. Jude, happened to be German. I told him about this. And I said, you know, and I know right now, without going to your facility, that you have probably three children that will be dead within 4 weeks because you couldn't find a match, because you did everything. And that child's going to be dead. You know that. I'm going to give you these cells. You don't have to say where they came from. There's no reason to. It's over, right? And he said, we have our rules. And I'm thinking of him in Nazi Germany or something. And I thought, well, maybe he didn't hear me. I don't want any credit. I don't want anything. I want to save the lives of those three. And when you see that, you're going to do it again and again and again, I think. And he said, we have our rules. I'm busy. And he hung up on me. No interest at all.
You see this all the time, unfortunately. So that answers that there's so many, that thousands of patients can be treated from one fetus. But again, is it an abortion issue? Because when you see the controversy, it's always abortion seems to come
up. All right, let's look at this. They're going to abort anyway. You saw it in the video. So if they're getting their abortion, why should they throw away the material? Why should that be thrown away?
So it's not so much an abortion issue, because they're going to have it anyway. It's what do we do with the cells? And hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break. We're up against an hour here. So my guest tonight, again, is William Rader. Dr. William Rader, we're talking about the film God Cells, which features the patients from the clinic that he has over the border. You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222 or 800-ABC-KABC. We'll be right back right after this break.
World, say hello to some old friends. It's been a long time, but they remember you. They're my toes, and they've been hidden ever since I got nail fungus. Yeah, nail fungus. I know, embarrassing, right? Really ugly stuff that I just couldn't get rid of. Tried several doctors, took pills, creams, even considered surgery. Of course, with that, you lose your nail, and there's no guarantee that the fungus won't come back. So I tried Clear Touch. Clear Touch is a little handheld device you use at home. It's painless because it uses light. Yes, light to travel fast and deep. Can't believe I went so long hiding my toes when this simple, inexpensive solution was waiting right there at Clear Touch. Clear Touch is even cleared by the FDA because it's safe and works. Yeah, my toes saw the light. So, world, I'd appreciate it if you could pass the word about Clear Touch, the phototherapy solution that works.
Call 800-720-1070. That's 800-720-1070. That's 800-720-1070 or cleartouchnails.com.
Results may vary.
Hello, I'm Jerry Mathers. I was the Beaver in Leave It to Beaver. And 20 years ago, I almost died from type 2 diabetes. When I was diagnosed with type 2, I was shocked. My blood sugar was through the roof. Now, the very same natural remedies I use to control my type 2 diabetes are available for you in a super easy program called the Diabetes Solution Kit. And I should know it works. I use the very same techniques to drop 40 pounds of fat, get my blood sugar under control, and watch my type 2 diabetes fade into thin air. If you have diabetes, I urge you to try this step-by-step plan. It has all the natural techniques I used, and it works a lot faster, too. I'm Jerry Mathers, and if I can do it, you can do it, too.
If you'd like to normalize your blood sugar and stop taking your diabetes medication completely with your doctor's approval, go to 11diabetesreverse.com. That's 11diabetesreverse.com. Reverse your diabetes in as little as 30 days by going to 11diabetesreverse.com. That's 11diabetesreverse.com now.
Hey, it's Jillian, and I want to tell you guys about Northwest Rugs and Furniture. Did you know they've been locally owned for 24 years? They've got the largest selection of rugs on the West Coast, and they pride themselves on having quality rugs and furniture at affordable prices. I should know, I bought a rug about 10 years ago that I still have in my dining room. Northwest Rugs and Furniture has a diverse selection of dining room, bedroom, and living room furniture. There's a huge sale going on right now with 25% off and lowest prices of the season on rugs. Make sure to visit their new store in Sherman Oaks and visit NWRugs.com.
Want the truth? You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222 or 800-ABC-KABC. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
And we are back. You're driving your car, you need to turn this up. This is an important topic. We're talking about fetal stem cells. We're talking about the film, The God Cells. And we're having a very important conversation, especially when it has to do with children and children that are being allowed to have horrific diseases and die when there are treatments. Dr. William Rader is here talking about fetal stem cells. And you had talked about children with muscular dystrophy that's been cured by this and other problems. And we talked about that this is really not an abortion issue. This is the fetal stem cells can, one fetus can service thousands and thousands of patients. So let me just ask you, if it's all good, if there's no downside to this, there's no side effects, there's no rejection, because this is not like a transplant surgery, then why is this not being embraced by the mainstream? Why is the AMA and the CDC and the FDA and everybody else at your doorstep saying, hey, we need to do this? Why instead have you been scrutinized and vilified in the media and had your medical license revoked? Why?
By the way, one of the things that they said when they took the license was that even if Dr. Rader is right and he's years ahead of himself, it's not the standard of care. Is that a catch-22? Anybody who does something new, it isn't the standard of care. It's interesting that you asked me that because earlier, we weren't on the air, I think you said something about money didn't you say something about money? That is the reason. It's all about money. You're talking about who you are, who I am, and what your agenda is. You wouldn't allow a child to die if you had this information. Money is number one. You said it to me.
Well, see, what's amazing to me is that it doesn't surprise me that the big corporations, because they're up in a tower, they're not face to face with these patients, and so the negative consequences to get money doesn't surprise me. But what does surprise me is when you present this to the physician, just like you talked about, to this physician that had three or four children that are going to die in the next 30 days, and they still won't give him the treatment, really because it's a selfish thing, right? That he's probably afraid that he's going to be scrutinized and his license is going to be taken away. Is that what really this is about?
Of course. And he will be scrutinized and he will have his license taken away, just like they did to me.
So what's the answer here? How do we get past this? Is it that everybody has to go out of the country to get treatment? Is that the answer?
Well, my agenda now is to have people understand it and see it. Look at the videos. See, you know, when they said also in the trial that it could be a placebo effect. So I took a four-year-old child with a mitochondrial defect, and I went, zoo, 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 whatever you do, and the mitochondrial defect is no longer there by lab study. I mean, it's so obvious that it's not seen, and everybody's taking care of themselves. And I don't understand how this doctor that I was talking about can feel okay. I'm sure he has some kind of rationalization. Or they usually say there wasn't a double-blind study, Dr. Rader. You have to do a double-blind study. Well, is it all right if your child is the one we select?
To give
the placebo? And what I said earlier, better than a double-blind study is to have a consistent result, no negative, and being able to do with it. Yeah, but they wouldn't think of that. That is not the scientific method, as you know. You have to do it this way. Right. You have to do it their way. It's very strange. But if it doesn't affect you personally, people listening right now, oh, that's interesting, because it doesn't affect them personally.
Right.
We have patients, parents who have kidnapped their child out of the hospital where they were because they wanted to get treated, and they did very well.
Other critics, well, I shouldn't say other, critics have also said about what you've done, what you do in the past, that it's all about the money. Why do the treatments cost $25,000, $30,000? And before you answer that, you know, the first thing that hit my mind, because I think differently, is that what about the medications that people take that don't work? Some of these chemotherapy medications cost thousands of dollars a month, and they take it for 10, 20 years. Maybe they spend $100,000, $200,000 on medicine that they know is not going to work. But how is that different than if you have, because no treatment works in everybody.
Right.
So if you have someone that spends money and you tell them up front that there's not a guarantee, this is not a miracle, I mean, this is not like 100%. How is it so bad that if it doesn't work for some people? But that's what you've been criticized. Oh, you're just taking their money.
Well, first of all, I usually don't talk about it, but we give 20% free treatment. 20% free treatment. Always a child. Always somebody who is about to leave us, so to speak. And that's the one we would select that we would give free treatment to. Also, it's expensive what we're doing. Like, I'm the chief scientist. You think it was nothing when I figured out, I shouldn't say I, that the team figured out how to expand the cells, what I told you about? That's very expensive. And there are a lot of other things that are very expensive. In reality, and I know once again they're going to kill me for saying this, our staff, is that no one pays $30,000. It's always a discount. It's always a this. They won't allow me to make the decision, by the way, because I'm going to give everything for free. So I've committed that I won't. They make the decision. I practically beg them sometimes to allow free treatment or very little price for this. treatment. And they say to me, but then we won't be alive. We don't have anybody. This is our money. This is self-supporting.
Right.
I don't belong to anything, and I don't want to belong to anything. And I'm sure you feel the same way. If I was part of the system, then they would have made me do the immunosuppressives or who knows what. Why we've been able to do what we've been able to do, because I don't pay attention to what they're saying. And I'm not looking to be anything other than helping, and especially, as you said, the children. It is that. And I don't know how long it will be before that changes. Someone famous, hopefully, sorry to put that curse on them, could have a child, and that child could be cured, and then everybody know about it. That may start to change things.
It must make you very angry. I know I've been accused of that things before, and everyone that knows me knows how many things that I also do for free for people. But when people throw that at you, that you're doing it for the money. But yet we watch, you know, famous athletes and famous movie stars get $20, $30, $40 million for some science fiction film, and no one cares. But God forbid a doctor makes some money and you must be doing something wrong.
I was watching the Academy Awards, and some of the actors get $20 million for a film. And people listen to what they're saying about life or this or what. I mean, it's unbelievable. And then I remembered this one woman who called me, who's a social worker, maybe makes $45,000, who knows. And one of her clients was this 12-year-old little girl who had shaken baby syndrome. That one of her clients, the mother was in a relationship with an alcoholic, and he shook this baby so it cut the cord. So that now the baby no longer has a connection between the upper body, the lower body. This woman adopts this kid for the rest of her life and his life. She's going to take care of that kid and knows it. Who is the hero? The $20 million guy? Or this woman? And of course, that was one of the free treatments. But our mindset is so weird that she's just a social worker, you know. But that actor is wow. Hey.
It's just it shows the values of our society, what we put value on. It's a very sad commentary on society. Let me get the number out again. There are people that are holding to speak to Dr. Rader, and we're going to get to you, so keep holding. The number is 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222, 800-ABC-KABC. We're talking about fetal stem cells. I'm going to ask you one. I'm going to get to some questions here from the audience in a minute, but I want to ask you one other thing, that when you look at this in terms of fetal stem cells versus adult stem cells or embryonic stem cells or cord blood stem cells, why is it my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, it's only the fetal right now that's it's really illegal in this country? Is that correct?
Well, it's not only the fetal, but adult stem cells are not illegal in this country. Umbilical stem cells are also not illegal if you go through the
So they're process. All legal except for fetal. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, basically. They have from adipose tissue, fat tissue. They even have, I guess, whatever comes to mind, I say it. They have stem cells coming from the menstrual blood. They have stem cells coming from what's left over after they do a circumcision. They'll do anything,
but not fetal.
Oh no!
So again, I bring it back. Is it really the anti-abortion lobby that's doing this? Because I don't understand how all those other lines are not legal, or I'm sorry, are legal, but fetal stem cells are illegal.
Well, it's what Bush did, and a lot of people listening probably now feel that you're killing a baby. The bottom line is that this mother is going to have an abortion. She's asked whether it's going to be thrown away as routine medical waste or perhaps save someone's life. if she says yes, is an incredible testing process. You understand PCR DNA testing. And then we, in our lab, then we send it to Germany, to one of the best labs in the world.
Where do they come? Where do these cells come from? Where are the aborted fetuses coming from?
Eastern Europe. And in Eastern Europe, that one of the main sources of birth control is abortion. That doesn't make a lot of sense to us, but it's there. So that this, again, there's a lot of abortions going on. The material is being thrown away. We're asking for permission. We have nothing to do with the abortion. So it's just, it's that word that people go nuts over. But again, there are that many abortions happening every day that have nothing to do with us. They're just happening. And that material can be used to save so many lives. And I'm hoping also in the future, I'm alone, pal, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm alone. It took more than one person to get to the moon. No matter how smart, dedicated, whatever I am, it's nothing compared to if it becomes accepted. Then we have the professors and the doctors and the money and all those things. Right now, we have nothing. And the reason I'm not crying that I'm alone, I'm saying I am alone because I can't find anybody that's willing to take a chance.
Right. Well, that's why we wanted you here tonight. We want people to hear what you have to say. Let me get some questions here. I have Al. Al, are you on? Al, can you hear me?
Yes.
And you want to know about stem cells treating bladder problems. Is that correct?
Stem cell usage for treating something like bladder incontinence in an adult.
Yes, we've done that. The bottom line, which I didn't say, is that these cells are pluripotent. They can be any of the 220 cell types of the body. So it goes around the body. It looks for defects. It looks for problems. And it does repair. It also sometimes turns into the cell that has been damaged. I mean, it's an amazing thing. But on the other hand, as I said earlier, the size of your pinky fingernail, and you're what, 6'4" or something? How did that happen?
Yeah. How did that happen? Yeah, my whole family asked that. Al, let me...
So that might be useful to treat the sphincter muscle or whatever it is of the...
Yes.
Exit from the bladder.
Yeah, we've done that.
Wow. That's amazing. I mean, I know what's behind the prohibition against the fetal stem cell use in the United States. It's a very unfortunate
What do you mean you know what's behind the prohibition?
Well, it's there was a secretary of HEW many years ago who... I don't know if it was his religious persuasion or whatever that made sure that it could not be done, and I think that's been perpetuated.
I see.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
An average drug takes maybe at the most 4 years to go through the whole process, maybe a few million dollars. But for a fetal stem cell, it takes about 12 years, and about $2 billion. They've selected it out.
They make it cost prohibitive.
Yes.
So, Al, thank you for calling. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you
and,
very much.
And listen, by the end of the program, I'm going to get about the website. So, Al, if you're interested, you can contact. So I'm glad you brought that up, Dr. Rainier, that it's cost prohibitive, and that's another trick that the system sort of uses that also just prevents innovation in general from private individuals, whether even if it is a medication. It sort of ensures that the big companies have the monopoly because it takes so much money to
exactly.
bring a new drug or a new treatment to market.
So who could afford that? The big drug company.
Yeah, and maybe Donald Trump, huh? So let me ask you this. Do you feel or do you believe, because a lot of people relate stem cells to clones and cloning, and it starts to get out there. Well, people are being cloned, and there's people have told me in private. I don't repeat it, although I'm repeating it on the air right now because I don't really usually talk about something unless I have proof. But there are people that have told me that humans have already been cloned, and it's just not been told to the public. I mean, I know it's not exactly the same thing, but how do you feel about that? Do you think that's possible, or if it's already?
I think
happened?
It's possible, yes. But also, let's now weigh the difficulty in doing it, or the objections to it, and weigh it against the good that the fetal cell can do for everybody. By the way, it increases your immune system minimally 10 times. That means you have 1,000% less chance of getting cancer or the flu. That doesn't mean you won't. But what percent of 60-year-olds have cancer, and what percent of 60-year-olds? It's all for the immune system.
So is this something that you could say that people could get prophylactically, like as part of staying healthy, not just waiting till you're sick, but if it boosts your immune system that much, isn't this going to help people live longer, live healthier?
Yes, and then there's the argument about it. It's very expensive if they're living longer.
So the argument against people living, we don't want people to live longer.
No, we don't. Expensive. I mean, not me. But no, but they don't. They look at, again, the figures. What does it cost if a person lives 5 years longer? And they look at that kind of stuff. And maybe they're right. I don't know if they're right. All I know is what I know, what I've been talking about, and my agenda is to get people to have a choice. There is no choice right now because they don't know about it, and the doctor is against it, and there's no other doctor who's willing to work with me. So therefore, they're getting one track, which is no, and then not getting a track is, wait, maybe this could help you or help your child.
But how can people afford it? Because $25,000, $30,000 isn't cheap. And so are we in a situation, which I've been feeling like we've been heading this way for many years now, where we really have a two-tiered system. We have people that get elite treatment because they can afford it, and then we have everybody else, which is pretty much about 99% of the population. So how can we make this more affordable to someone that would want to do this that just doesn't have that kind of money?
This is my plan. I control that part of it. I want everybody to have the opportunity. I told you we give 20% free treatment. They won't let me give more. But I also told you that one fetal cell, the material from one fetal cell, and we've done in the research in the lab, that treats thousands of patients and truly many more, let's say 500,000. And I believe that from what we've done in the lab. What am I going to charge somebody if I can do 500? I can charge them $50, $500.
So the cost can come down.
Oh, way, way down.
Because I'm thinking about, there's so many people. We know autism has exploded, and it's another program, if it's related to vaccines or not and all that. But we know it's exploded, and I believe at the end of the film there was there's a montage of people who have been treated, and there were some autism. What's been the success rate with fetal stem cells and autism?
Very, very high, because we're able to use the brain cell. And the brain cell of the fetus goes to the brain and does repair. And we see it over and over and over.
Is this regardless of, like, if a child has had autism for a while? Because if you have a mother out there that has one or two autistic, because I know people that have two, three autistic children. It's unbelievable. What do we say to that parent listening right now? How can they get their child this treatment?
Well, it depends on what we think about the situation. The child who's a teenager is not going to have the same result as the 4 or 5-year-old, which will be, in essence, quote, cured. So therefore, a decision has to be made. No, if you were the mother talking to me right now, I would never charge you anything close to $20,000 or something like that. And I would say, what can you afford? But then I would say, your children are going to change, but they're not going to change the way that the younger child. We've seen some amazing things happen with the younger child.
See, you talk about what is society going to do from a financial standpoint if people live longer, but the point has been made, what is society going to do with all these, the army of autistic children that are going to become adults that are 100% rely on the system for help? They cannot take care of themselves. And that's a situation when you extrapolate it out to when these children become 25, 35, 50 on years up, the cost is astronomical. So it would make sense that if you could cure this problem with fetal stem cells, wouldn't the government, wouldn't the mainstream be interested in that?
Well, there's an analogous situation. I was the chief psychiatrist for the alcohol program of the U.S. Navy. And I was able to convince them. At that time, they put maybe 10, 20 million into a pilot. Now it's much more. And I started to tell them, look, give me that pilot, and I'll give him back to you. And he'll probably be one of the best pilots because he'll be an Alcoholics Anonymous and he'll have all of this going. And look how much money you save. I went to Washington, and don't ask me why they did it because it's logical. They did do it. And then when they saw some of these pilots coming back, then they paid for it, had absolutely no problem. So it depends on finding a system that will allow what I just told you to occur. It is much cheaper to do what you just said than it is to provide all the services. But on the other hand, there's prejudice. There's prejudice against an autistic child and all these things. I mean, you're great. By the way, there's no such thing as good taste. It's when somebody agrees with your taste, so I just said you're great because you're like me. But if people thought that way, but they don't. They don't think of the long run. They don't think of what it is that you're talking about.
Well, let me, we only have a few minutes left. I want to make sure we get out some websites because I'm sure there's people that want to learn more about this and they should. And I think it's stemcellofamerica.com.
Right.
stemcellofamerica.com. And then for the movie, the film is stemcellsmovie.com. Is that correct? Stemcellsmovie. So, and for you listening, if you've missed, we have a few minutes left, but if you've missed the show, this is always, you can hear it all the time on drgregorysmith.com. That's drgregorysmith.com or kabc.com. We will also post these the websites so you can, if you didn't get them, but again, it's stemcellofamerica.com. And we have a few minutes left, Dr. Rader. Is there anything else you want to convey to people listening? If there's parents out there with children with neurologic disorders, autism, et cetera, what would you tell them to do?
Well, I think of leukemia. We could cure leukemia. Because the limiting factor...
Flat out cure leukemia.
I'll give you the logic. The limiting factor is finding a donor match. You don't need a donor match. Okay? So that is the limiting factor. So we can give everybody looking for that donor match, we can give them the fetal stem cell and get rid of the these... It's very expensive, by the way, the donor registration. It costs about $2 billion where they are now with 14,000 people. And I'm telling you that it's a waste of time, it's a waste of money. And you have the magic. Why are you looking for something else when it's sitting there? Well, you don't believe it. It's going to interfere with you economically, politically. Who knows? But we can cure leukemia. You tell me, in your obviously large understanding of medicine, what I just said, if it's true, if there are 3,000 people who we never matched and never gave immunosuppressive drugs, why wouldn't that be a cure for leukemia? That's the only limiting factor, is finding the donor. We know how to do everything else.
And you don't have to find a donor here, right? Because there's no rejection.
No, there's the fetus is immune privileged.
Yeah. Wow, unbelievable. Dr. Rader, I appreciate you being here tonight. If you've missed any of this, you have to listen to the broadcast on either website, kabc.com or drgregorysmith.com. I want to say a few things before we go. The film is showing. Is it the Lindley? Is that it? In Beverly Hills for the next week, I believe. Go out and see the movie, support the movie. The only way you're going to get information, people, is to put your money where your mouth is, so to speak. If we don't support these type of efforts, you're not going to hear this information that could save your life. So go see the movie. It's here in Beverly Hills at the Lindley. Go to stemcellsofamerica.com. That's stemcellsofamerica.com. Dr. William Rader, I appreciate you being here. Thank you for coming in studio tonight. You got to come back.
Well, it's nice meeting a fellow alien.
Yes, yes, exactly.
I'm serious.
Exactly. All right. Well, listen, this has been Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith, and we will be back next Saturday night. Have a great week.
This show furnished by GS Medical Center and Dr. Gregory A. Smith.